This is an ABC podcast.
It's time to go to
sleep.
And you need to close your eyes, that's right. And put your head on the
pillow.
Yeah, good night.
Good night.
Okay, can I have a kiss? Okay, sleep well, and I'll see you in the morning.
Night, night, beautiful. Good night.
Good night, Bob.
Oh, big yawn. Night, night. If only it was that easy. We spend more time talking about sleep than we do getting sleep. And the reality is sleep deprivation is hard on all of us, especially Patch.
Come on, buddy. Remember what I said? You need to stay in bed.
I'll get you a drink and then it's time to go to bed. Very late now. It's time to go to sleep.
Getting serious now. It's time to go to sleep. It's time to go to sleep in your own bedroom, not in Mum and Dad's bed. Now come on, I'll walk with you. Oh, you don't want to. I know you don't want to, but you have to. So off we go. You can hold my hand and we'll walk together. You must be starting to get tired.
He's asleep.
Finally.
Tell me about it. I don't know about you, but I'm shattered.
Yeah, I'm so tired. I'd feel so helpless not being able to get him to sleep until, 11:30.
We've tried so much over the years to help Patch go to sleep at night, and just because it's worked for someone else doesn't mean it's going to help him.
But we give all these ideas a go anyway.
Routines.
Weighted blankets.
Visuals.
Epsom salt baths.
Exercise.
Social stories.
Making the room dark.
Putting in a nightlight.
Music.
Singing Twinkle Twinkle 7,000 times.
White noise.
Silence.
Lots of food.
Not too much food.
Vitamin D.
Melatonin.
Sleeping in his bed.
On the floor next to his bed.
On the floor outside his door.
In our bed.
And getting up every 10 minutes to reassure him.
For years I remember hearing Patch waking up and I'd look at the clock and it was always 2 a.m. And then he switched and he started not going to sleep until really late, sometimes 5 a.m. And this is the unusual thing. Often Patch will have an amazing day after not much sleep, and it's like he stayed awake to figure something out in his brain.
Yeah, I just don't understand that, because I don't usually have an amazing day after 2 or 3 hours sleep, that's for sure.
So then we go around and around and we think, was it something that he's eaten or something he's thinking, or does he not like the sheets or the dark? Or the lamp that we've put in his room, and that's why he's not sleeping. And then he'll have weeks where he does sleep, and we ask the same questions about what helped him so that we can keep the pattern going.
At 3 a.m, it feels like we're the only family going through this, but we know we're not.
It's hard to get an accurate stat on how many autistic children struggle with sleep. It's somewhere between 40 to 80%.
What does that really mean?
Well, it just means that there's a lot of really tired kids and mums and dads out there.
It's 2:30. And none of us have gone to sleep yet. Patch, you need sleep more than anything. Please go to sleep. Close your eyes.
It's 8 o'clock. And that's it. The new day is here. Eventually, at 5 o'clock, I held on to Patch so tight and clenched his little hand in mine, and we watched the same video on YouTube over and over and over again until he fell asleep. And when he woke up, he was still holding really tightly to my hand. That was one of the roughest nights I can remember for everyone. Poor Patch. Wish us luck for the day.
So Patch made it through the entire day before falling asleep at 8 o'clock. How do you measure exhaustion? When you're starting the day feeling like you need to go back to bed, and that's at least 16 hours away.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Remember that time you were away in Sydney and Patch was awake for 38 hours. And I wrote this Facebook post about it because I was so, so exhausted and depressed. But the responses I got from other mums and dads got me through the rest of the day.
Yeah, I do remember that, Trav. And one mum said that after 30 years, she still doesn't know if her son will sleep for 1 hour or 4 or 5.
And I thought it was so special how other dads commented. One of them saying, "Hey, mate, I've also been awake since 3 a.m. I know how you feel."
And there was also that mum who said her teenager was asleep, but she was awake worrying about his future. I can totally relate to that. It's heartbreaking.
It's reassuring to know so many people are going through this, but pretty disheartening to know that so many families are living with sleepless nights for years and years. Hi, Zoe. How are you going?
Hello. Good, thank you.
We're just having dinner. Dead on 6 o'clock, dead on dinner time.
Zoe Sandell's got two sons, Harley, who was diagnosed with Asperger's when he was 8, and Brody, who's 19 and was diagnosed on the autism spectrum at 22 months. I'm going to stay the night with Zoe and Brody and find out what they've learned about sleep.
I'm just going to sit down next to you, Brody.
Hello, my name is Brody. I am 19 years old. I have trouble talking with my voice. Do you remember when you learned to talk? I have a lawn mowing job.
Yeah, what else?
I'm very pleased to meet you.
I'm pleased to meet you.
So Brody has a communication app on an iPad, so it says the words for him.
What do you do with Mum after work?
Walk.
And where do you go for walks?
Beach.
Sometimes, don't we? We go to the beach.
Yeah.
How do you feel once you've come back after the walk?
Tired.
What was Brody trying to press then?
Brody was looking at his swear folder.
Do you want to tell me where to go, Brody?
Being a typical 19-year-old boy, he has access to all the words. We don't want to stifle what he can say, so he has on his Prolo, he has a folder that is a swear folder, and he has used it, haven't you? Yes. After your walk, do you use your
computer?
And you watch
TV.
After watching TV, then it's
bed.
Time for bed.
So it's bedtime. And so do you enjoy sleeping, Brody?
No.
No. Do you like bedtime?
Yes. Yes.
And what time is bedtime?
Evening, 9 o'clock.
All right, Brody. You've got to have your melatonin. There you go. I love you. Mwah. See you in the morning. Be good. Sleep tight.
Good night, Brody.
Yeah. No.
When he was about 2, Brody started really struggling to stay asleep.
And he'd wake up all hours of the night, and he didn't have the skill of putting himself back to sleep. But he didn't want to be awake either, and so he didn't know what to do with himself. So he would just literally scream, and you couldn't console him because he didn't understand about being consoled, and that wasn't what he wanted. What he actually wanted was to be asleep. It was really difficult. As a mum, it's really, really hard to see your child in distress and not be able to do anything about it, but also be physically attacked by your own child. So if he was upset and I tried to console him, if I got near him, he would physically attack me. So you've got him upset as well as yourself being upset. And the more upset you get by it all, of course, the more upsetting he finds it all.
Zoe's oldest son, Harley, was also staying awake late. They'd find him in the bed with a book and a torch late at night. And melatonin helped him learn how to relax and go to sleep. So they also started giving it to Brody.
He started kindy and an ABA home-based therapy program, a mixture of the activity during the day, so the kindy program and the ABA, and then the melatonin. He started to develop better sleeping patterns.
But over the years, there's still been lots of desperate times when Zoe couldn't do anything to settle Brody.
I've put the fold-out couch out in the lounge room, put a movie on and buckled down, and he cried himself to sleep. And he would do that for a night or two, and that would reset that.
That's really, really tough. And now as a young adult, if he's had a few nights of not sleeping, Zoe jumps into wearing Brody out mode.
So when he gets home, he goes for a bike ride, and then he goes and walks the dog, and then he goes and puts the bins out, and then he gets on the exercise machines, and we do exercise, 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 exercise. And we'll do that for 2-3 nights in a row, and then he'll finally just have to get into bed and crash, and we break that cycle of staying up.
Maybe the best thing you can do as a tired, worn-out parent is not give up hope.
It changes, and it will change over time, and there'll be harder times and easier times and different struggles. I think you will eventually find something that works for all of you. Maybe, if you're lucky.
It's just turned 7:30 and I'm on my second coffee. Good morning, Zoe.
Morning. Yes, I've had a shower. Probably twice a week. I make sure I jump in the shower.
How'd you sleep?
Perfect. I had a good sleep.
Hello. You're up already. I'll find your clothes. You make your bed.
Good morning, Brody.
Good morning.
Yes, you slept. How did you sleep? You had a great sleep. Oh, good.
Well, I just want to thank you for allowing me to come to your family's home, and I hope you have a great day at work.
Thank you.
Without good sleep, nothing else goes right, really.
Ain't that the truth? Professor Sarah Blunden is head of paediatric sleep research at Central Queensland University and has worked with families as a clinical psychologist for years.
So when you don't sleep and you have other challenges such as anxiety, such as heightened sensitivity, as is very prevalent in children with autism, it's much more difficult to control your emotions, to understand, to learn, to memorise, to concentrate, to regulate your behaviour. All these things that children have challenges with anyway, a child with autism has double whammy. And if they don't sleep, then things can go really wrong.
When Sarah first works with a child, she tries to figure out what's worrying them.
It's anxiety, or it's separation anxiety, or it's some sort of sensitivity that might be disturbing this child. We won't sleep if we're not feeling good, if we're not feeling emotionally and physically right.
It's also good to include your child when setting up their bedtime routine.
And with children with autism, it's very important that that be predictable and reliable and regular and within their control. I think control is an enormously important thing for all of us, particularly for children who are anxious.
It's also critical to figure out their sensory needs, like are their pyjamas itchy? Do they need lots of toys in bed with them or none? And what levels of light and sound make them feel safe? And Trav, something I hadn't thought about is teaching your child how to relax. It's not instinctive. And if they like water, you can do this in the bath.
And they pull the plug out and the water comes out of the bath and it goes down the plug hole and it takes with them all their worries and all their energy and all their tenseness, and they lie there and it is the most relaxing feeling ever. Once they can do that, they go into their bedroom, and when it's sleepy time, they close their eyes and they try and pretend they're in the bath again.
Yeah, I like it. It's worth a shot.
Yeah, I think so. Zoe talked about melatonin helping her boys. Well, this is backed up by scientific research.
There is now strong evidence that melatonin is successful, particularly in children with dysfunctional melatonin secretion.
And that's the case for lots of autistic kids where the sleep-wake cycle is off-kilter.
I was reticent at the beginning, maybe 10 years ago, when melatonin was being used avidly without sufficient evidence. There isn't long-term evidence, like 10, 15, 20 years worth of evidence, and we do know that melatonin is a powerful hormone. Nonetheless, at the moment, it is enormously helpful for some parents to be able to survive children who don't get good sleep.
Melatonin doesn't work for everyone, and there are other medications out there. Sarah Blunden advises asking about the risks before giving anything a go.
All parents are given a lot of unsolicited advice about what you should or shouldn't do when it comes to sleep, and not all of it's helpful.
So, Sarah says go ahead, break the so-called rules, do what works for you and your child. That might mean sleeping in the same bed with them so they feel calm, or letting them watch a movie in bed.
Absolutely. We know that the evidence suggests that having a screen in front of your eyes before bedtime is usually likely to keep you awake, but some people, it gets them to sleep. Now, if that's your survival mechanism as a parent, why not?
I know of two autistic children that use an iPad in their room every night, and it works for them.
Okay, so what have we learned? A positive bedtime routine is critical.
Exercise helps, and make sure their bedroom meets their sensory needs.
Melatonin helps a lot of kids.
And focus on finding a way for them to communicate what they need and what helps them feel calm at night.
And you might need to teach your child some relaxation methods to help them fall asleep.
And for us feet, it's just so easy to get into that cycle of not sleeping, not exercising, eating badly, and then you get sick and around you go.
Yeah. And I think it's important for the two of us not to play the I'm the most tired game, which I'd win anyway.
All right, bullshit. There's one last idea to help Patch fall asleep I want to try, which came out of a conversation I had with the autistic author and blogger Chris Spinello. He was diagnosed on the autism spectrum as an adult.
After I'd had the period of getting used to the news that the entirety of my brain is different to most people, it actually helped me to make peace with myself, helped me to realise that I am the person I was supposed to be all along, and I'm not failing as a person by not being like other people.
All of those nights when Patch is awake, I worry about what's going through his mind as he lies in the dark, unable to fall asleep. He doesn't have the means to communicate this to us yet. Chris says he used to daydream in bed before falling asleep.
I used to make up adventures, usually about Sonic the Hedgehog in my head, and invent stories where I played one of the characters, and I'd keep telling myself these stories until I'd fall asleep. The next night I'd go to bed and then continue that story where I left off. Well, I've now got a master's degree in creative writing, so I'm rather glad that I had that strategy, but maybe that's something that really helped me to get to sleep, because it was burning off the last of the mental energy that I had for the day.
What advice would you give to parents like Fiona and myself who have a child who really struggles to go to sleep?
If you have a chat about what's happened during the day, especially the positive stuff, give them something to relax them and make them happy before they put their head down and attempt to go to sleep.
Think about all the things we've done today. We went to the park. And you went on the flying fox. And went for a big bushwalk to the top of the hill. And now you can have a nice big sleep, okay?
Yeah, excellent. Oh, yeah, Mum's put some lavender oil on the pillow.
Yeah.
Doesn't that smell nice? Good night, Patch.
Good night.
Yeah, I love you.
Love.
Oh, thank you.
No, no, sweetheart.
Okay. Sweet dreams. Okay. Oh, there's a big yawn. Okay. Good night. Love you.
Next time on the Parenting Spectrum, showing your kids the world. We'll explore the joys and potential dramas of travel.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.